CliffCentral.com. We're going to do something new this morning. It's called Collectomania, and many of us suffer from this. I don't think suffer is the right word. Although for people who don't collect, they think it's bizarre when you do. And there are some people who just don't collect anything, right? Some people who just aren't that interested in collections. I mean, I found one or two of them when we were doing research around this. Very rare people, those. But I'm a mad collector of all kinds of things. And if you've ever watched the show or listened to the show, you'll know I collect books, I collect coins, I collect swords, I collect pictures, I collect all kinds of chemicals. I've got a periodic table with all the elements on the periodic table. So I'm actually a maniac when it comes to this stuff. So I wouldn't blame anyone for being a little bit put off by me doing that. But I do think I'm in the majority here, because I think everybody has some interest in something. And it is, to me, the most worthwhile way to spend my time and money. And I'm it just gives me such satisfaction. And I think this morning, we're going to talk about, in our first episode of Collectomania, we're going to talk about the work that Ryle and Alan Demby do, because Alan started the SA Gold Coin Exchange, which I bought from you guys before at your coin shop, and we're going to find out all about their love of collecting. So first of all, welcome, Alan, and welcome, Ryle. Nice to see you both. Very good to see you. Happy to have you on the show. Yeah, how are you?
Thanks for having us. Yeah, all good, thank you. And you?
Good, Alan. So listen, I've got a couple of questions right up front. I just want you to tell us the story of how you started the South African Gold Coin Exchange, because obviously gold is something people have collected for millennia. And we've discussed gold as a store of value on this show many, many times. But it's more than that. I mean, we all know that gold has an inherent value and a preciousness. But you started this business. I mean, there are only certain ways you can actually own gold in South Africa, right?
Well, you can actually own any collectible coin or medallion in South Africa.
Yes.
You weren't able to own cast bars, because it's all part of the whole IDB dealing in uncut, unwrought diamonds, unwrought gold.
Right.
So even to this day, you can only have certain types of bars. But in the main, in South Africa, coins is the easiest way. And of course, Kruger Rands, which the guys, the Chamber of Mines created in 1967, has been the success story of South Africa. It was rated one of the top 300 brands in the world, and to date, probably 70, 80 million coins have been sold. And probably the most interesting thing is that the Kruger Rand has spawned a whole host of other, I wouldn't say imitators, but from other countries around the world, that today there are probably 300, 400 million 1 ounce, half, quarter, tenth, in other words, fractional Kruger Rands,
right,
in circulation today from America, Canada, England, let's go around the world, China, Austria, Australia, and so on. So it's a huge market, and it's just an easy way to own a coin. It's a 1 ounce gold coin whose price is quoted in the stock exchanges, on the markets around the world, literally from Monday morning in Hong Kong all the way through to Hong Kong on Saturday lunchtime. So
amazing.
For a good 5.5 days a week, there's nonstop trade. It's a very huge market, and that has helped popularize, if you will, coins to the point that it has enhanced coin collecting and taken it to a new level.
Numismatics, right? That's what you call it. So I'm something of a numismatist, and I've actually bought some coins from you guys before, because I find that kind of thing really interesting. I've got an old coin collection that my great grandfather started. And there are some really interesting coins in there. But tell me about the SA Gold Coin Exchange, because that was really your baby, and you were ahead of your time in starting that up. And all the coin shops around the country are also your brainchild, are they not?
Well, I was a son of the SA Gold Coin Exchange.
Uh-huh.
Not in the same way that Rail is the son of Scoin, but the Gold Coin Exchange was started in 1972, and I was conscripted to the army in 1977, and I'd been to university to study a BCom, and I was called up to the army for a year initially, but they extended my invitation by 12 months, so I got stuck in the army for 2 years. And while I was in the army, I was always looking to make a few bob because I didn't have any money.
Sure.
A troop in those days, a private to everybody else, was earning about R3.25 a day. So it wasn't really much to buy a McDonald's.
No.
Well, thankfully they didn't have McDonald's in South Africa then. And I was in the army, and I was in chief pay with a couple of guys and auditors. And one day, my colleague said to me, "Should we start dealing in Kruger Rands?" And
yeah.
I said, "Well, what's a Kruger Rand? I've never ever seen one in my life."
Wow.
And he said, "No, there's this coin you can get from the bank, and you can buy and sell." And I said, "Well, all right, we'll give it a chance." I've always been quite entrepreneurial. I was selling paintings door to door in Pretoria in Sunnyside. I had already had arranged a show at the Pretoria trade show, agricultural show. So, you know, I needed some money, and you know, we didn't. And have extra, and that's what I had to do. And I was hustling in those days. And we put an advert in the Pretoria News, and somebody answered and said he had a couple of coins to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So my partner, so to speak, was the money man.
Yeah,
he was the accountant, and I was the front man. You know, I was the lead singer who couldn't sing. I was the lead singer who couldn't sing.
Right.
And so this guy said he had 6 coins to sell, and it was R500 each. We needed R3,000. I had R1,500 from my days of wheeling and dealing, part of which was I was a manager of my friend's band in those days called Flash Harry.
Wow, you've done a lot of interesting stuff. My God.
Yeah, yeah. So that was quite an interesting era in my life. So anyway, we put the R3,000 together.
Yeah.
My friend's job was to go to the bank and get a bank guaranteed check.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is a collectible because nobody even uses bank checks anymore.
Yeah.
And that is part – collecting checks is actually part of numismatics, actually, strangely
really?
Enough. Just as an aside, and collecting banknotes, a American, I think it was a $1,000 bill called a watermelon.
Yes.
It's got a lot of these funny green things in them, is in the 100, so the zeros look like watermelons.
Yeah.
Sold for $1 million.
Wow.
A couple of years ago.
I just want to stop you for a second there, because I want to bring Rael in here. Rael, I mean, we've spoken about the coin shops very briefly, but obviously, you know, you must have seen this and thought, how do we make this even easier for people to get involved in? And you know, having been to these shops, it's amazing what you can get now. You guys sell silver Kruger Rands. You sell all kinds of precious metals. Tell me about the idea behind that and how that came about.
So I'll speed up the really good story of my father's is that he wanted gold to be accessible. He wanted people to be able to collect, and you would walk into a shop or an environment that actually feels welcoming, because yeah. Gold coins and any type of gold, it actually seems to be quite overwhelming. So in 1999, I was still just a little boy, and my father was at work, and he started the coin shops. Mm-hmm. And he wanted you to walk into the shop and learn about coins, all types from all over the world. So in his long career of going and meeting with mints from around the world and doing these wonderful deals, he was able to bring in product into South Africa that celebrates milestones and events and historical stories from these mints, the British
yeah,
Royal Mint,
absolutely,
the Mint of Paris. And that's sort of what we try to do, is make it accessible in the shops today. And every day we try to make it more accessible by Finding coins.
It's a magic thing, because I suppose for people who are collectors, and we were talking about that at the start of this, seeing any place where you can get more collections, where you can get more to add to your collection, is always the most exciting thing for people like me who are obsessed with this stuff. So do you collect anything, Ryle?
I do. I like a good, it used to be sneakers and cheaper things, but I've always had a bit of an interest in watches. My father, he would bring me back from these coin shows, like some cool fake watches, but then I don't want any fake ones anymore. I like to look for it. And you said something important now, Gareth, is it's all about the chase, really. It's about finding the coin, or finding the watch, or the chemical, or whatever you're looking for.
Sure.
Really, once you have it, you want to find the next thing. Mm. It's actually the whole all-encompassing idea of collecting that you're passionate about, and that's what we try to do. The watches is a hobby. It's something you can read up about or learn about, and I'm sure as we learn more about the Collectomania program, you're going to see loads of amazing people. The people at the coin shop on the ground have been sending us their collections. I have guys collecting spiders, baby dolls, really weird, like a lifelike baby dolls. Guns and Zippo lighters. The guys have everything, and every one of us really inherently likes to collect.
Well, I mean, this is what I want people to know. Today we do want to explain to people where you and your dad, and Alan, I'm going to ask you in a second what you collect, but I wanted to let people know what you guys think of collecting, because I think many of us can relate to that. And then we'll get on to what other people do. And you know, if you've got a particularly weird collection of things, then you must please send us an email. I'd love to add you to the show so we can talk about your collections too. So Alan, I know Sia and Leanne collect some things too. We'll come to them in a second. But what do you collect besides, obviously, coins?
Actually, I'm not really a coin collector. It never really attracted me. I came onto the scene more out of a business approach.
Sure.
And I always think that success in democratizing gold was precisely because I didn't know too much about it. You know, you can always get bogged down in the figures, but I've always collected things and unusual things when I've gone to the coin shows, but I brought one or two things. If we can show your,
of course. Yeah, let's have a look.
Your
what is that?
So in my travels, I came across this coin.
Yeah,
it was made in the I think it's part of the islands near Finland, and it's called Aland, but.
Yeah.
Okay, this is better. I've taken the plastic off. But Aland is Alan D. So when I saw this, I thought, oh, this is incredible. They named a coin after me. or maybe they've named an island after me. So this is like a peculiar thing that I picked up, which I thought was like quite strange.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it, but in my travels at the coin shows, I actually found a pair of cufflinks in American coin show that were worn by one of the dignitaries at the opening dinner of the President of America. So it's got the American coat of arms on. So that was like quite strange and weird. And then looking around, and this is really the precursor of this whole coin idea, was in about the early 19...
Oh, look at that.
I should get out of the way.
No, that's perfect. Just bring it...
Out of the way.
Bring it slightly the other way. There we are. What is that?
Right. That's okay. So in the early 1980s, 1990s, mid-90s, I was looking to try and create a coin that had a universal appeal to it.
Yeah.
Universal in the sense that it would be easy to make and colorful and fun.
Beautiful.
So you might recall about 20 odd years ago, they had Cow Parade.
So yeah, where we had all those painted cows all over the place, right?
Right. So that started in Zurich in the early 1990s. Business was bad in the city centers, and they tried to jazz it up, and they invited a whole bunch of artists to paint these towers made of fiberglass.
Yeah.
And everybody came up with a new idea, and it started to take traction. It then caught off in South Africa, and after the auction, after the show, they auctioned it off. We bought a few. Mm-hmm. We bought Blow Bulla. Mm-hmm. We bought Egoli and a few other cows with funny names. Yeah. And it got me thinking, and we started to put them into our scoring shops. Then I went overseas. We found out the people who own the intellectual property for this. And to cut a long story short, we bought the rights to Cow Parade around the world. And there have probably been about 10,000 cows that have been made to date. And so we came up with the idea of Scoin. That was the first idea.
Yeah.
And the idea was a colorful coin that would be quick and easy to make. The reverse would have the queen on, as in the from the Perth Mint. And here are two coins that I thought I should bring. The one is New Donna.
Oh, that's so everything brilliant.
Everything had a sort of a. So that was New Donna.
Yeah.
And
that
this
one
was P. Calso.
Oh, that's brilliant!
All right,
but that's amazing.
So idea was to democratize gold by having colorful, collectible gold coins, and that's how we invented the name Scoin.
And
then
would
after
be,
the Scoin shops,
there would obviously be a limited series of those. So you know, those are probably all sold, and you can't get them anymore. And if you do, then you're going to have to pay a pretty price more than you did when you made them, right?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
So. The mintage was 100 of each, and we made several hundred over the years, and people bought them for fun, for limited edition, for the underlying gold price. And it was just an interesting, unusual, fun, funky way to buy gold. So that was my contribution.
This is precisely what I think makes you guys so interesting, and why I'm so excited to start this discussion. And by the way, we'll be talking to people who collect unbelievably weird things in the next couple of episodes. But while we're on coins, how exactly does Scoin, or the South African Gold Coin Exchange, how do you guys continue? Is it with things like this to innovate, like you've just shown us those ones with the cows on them? I mean, this is a way, Rael, and you could perhaps answer this. This is a way to take coins into the 21st century, right?
Of course. I mean, the mints from around the world just keep growing and changing. And it used to be about historical boring events, but now the British Royal Mint came out with a series of 007 coins.
Oh, wow.
Celebrating last year's movie, No Time to Die. But there was no time to launch. It never actually came out. The thing about this coin is maybe it'll be more special and more collectible because of the fact that the event didn't happen. The idea of the Paris Mint, they come out with the most incredibly designed products. There's one gold coin in the shape of an egg. It looks like a fried egg. I think you've got a picture of it. It's incredible.
Let's see if I can find that quickly. Yeah, there we are.
We're innovating ourselves to make it more accessible for you. You can buy online, you can buy with cryptocurrencies, we can store the gold for you. The idea that the mints from around the world keep continuing to innovate and share with these remarkable stories is what we'll show you in weeks
I
to
love
come
this.
As well.
I mean, so you guys sell these rock legends one, which has got David Bowie, Queen, Elton John, and then I saw the 007 ones too, which are incredible. I mean, so you can get these at the Scoin shops.
So we're exclusive distributors Amazing. Of these coins from the world's most prestigious mints. We bring in the best coins that we know our clients want. Some of them are expensive, but some of them can be reasonable, and it could be a starting point for you to begin collecting. And we'll continue to bring in these beautiful coins, and the mints will continue to be cool and relevant and modern. And coins could be seen as quite like a boring old-fashioned thing, but my objective taking over is to do that, is to make it fun and exciting for more people.
You know, one of the things that makes this so special is if you do collect these coins, these things could be around for thousands of years, not just hundreds, because they're still digging up, you know, these coin hoards from ancient Rome and ancient Egypt, where people used coins that was actual money that they trade with. And because gold is such an inert metal, it just lasts forever. I mean, you know, that you could find something that's been buried for 1,000 years, and if it's made of gold, it doesn't rust, it doesn't decay, it's there forever. I think that if you're going to collect, you may as well start with something that you know is going to last, and that's really special. So I want to ask Sia and Leanne quickly, what do you guys collect? We'll start with you, Leanne. What do you collect?
I started collecting stamps from a very young age, I'd say primary school. And when my great-grandmother died, she had heard the fact that I collected stamps, and two generations before her collected as well. So I inherited her stamp collection and continued to build on it ever since. I mean, whether it holds any value or not is, you know, that remains to be seen. But it was really an exciting part of my life to dedicate time over the weekends. And I even remember the feeling of excitement of putting together album upon album of these stamps. I've since handed them to another family member who just has an amazing interest in looking at them. Mm-hmm. So she holds on to them.
You're a philatelist.
Yes.
That's what we call a stamp collector.
I stopped collecting a long time ago, but that was, you know, the biggest collection that I have.
It's amazing. Sia, you like the word philatelist and numismatist. We've learned those two this morning. What are you?
Very fancy. You know, I used to think I didn't collect, but up until you realize, you know, whatever you put a lot of attention to and a lot of quirky things that you put together technically do make you a bit of a collector. So I'm thinking about the fact that as a family, we collect a lot of, you know, series or sets of books. Mm-hmm. So we have at least about like two or three variations of encyclopedias just a whole set. If someone finds something quirky, we collect that. We have sets of different atlases as well. So we still have that in our study at home. And then personally, well, mine still are very, I'll say, very juvenile collections. But I went through a big Michael Jackson phase, especially when he died. So I have a whole lot of those collections. Yeah. I have all of my Oprah collections as well.
Well, I want to interrupt you because Alan and Rael and everybody else who's listening, you might not know this about Sia, but if you've listened to the show regularly, you would. Like, there was a chance where Sia went on eBay and he could have bought one of the chairs. He could have bought one of the chairs that the audience sat in at the Oprah Winfrey show, and it was going for like a pretty good price. And Sia's such an Oprah fan that he really wanted to buy it, and he thought, I'm not going to get it. And now he regrets
that. I should have. Yeah. I kicked myself in the foot because of that. The last random thing that I've realized now in hindsight, I do collect as well, is, you know, with all of my travels, I like souvenirs that I can use. So I started ages ago asking the airline and to get those blankets that they have in the airline. So I now have a set of those, and it tells a story if you use a little blanket or throw when you remember.
I'm allowed to take those out.
Well, that is why we've had many a conversation and sweeping the air.
Sia's
the
basically,
cabin crew.
I think Rael's implying that you might have actually stolen those, Sia, instead of just collecting them.
I am not implicating myself. It is through asking, okay?
Well, I mean, there are lots and lots of comments here. I mean, Snae says, who's been very busy this morning, I collect souvenirs from all the countries I've been to. I mean, a lot of people like to do that because then you get home and you've got something to remind you of your trips. People are big into silver at the moment. Just quickly, before we let you guys go, the silver price has actually gone up recently, but silver is a nice thing to collect too because it has utility as well as just being a store of value. And silver is, you know, one of the precious metals that you sell. So how does silver compare to gold in terms of sales?
Well, I think they say silver is the poor man's gold. But silver has been as old as the hills. Probably the first coins were actually made of silver.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, of the top 10 most valuable coins in the world, half a dozen of them are actually silver coins.
Wow.
A nickel, an American nickel recently sold for about $10 million.
Yeah.
And the first silver dollar sold for roughly that as well. So I think that silver, as you say, was more often used in trade. People had more access to silver than ever before. And as you say, people just use it for money, use it for trade. And along the way, they just accumulated these coins. And it just has a certain appeal, particularly in Europe. Europeans don't have the same amount of, say, spare cash, if you will, as perhaps the Yanks, and they just like silver coins. You know, silver has has been around for a long, long time. So they tend to like silver coins.
Yeah.
Having said that, the Americans are huge collectors of silver coins. I would say that the Europeans and the Americans are the biggest collectors of silver. You know, from an investment pricing point of view, silver used to be $5 an ounce. It ramped up to $50 an ounce in the early 80s when the two Hunt brothers, who were oil billionaires, tried to corner the market. And shortly thereafter, the market collapsed and it went to a few dollars an ounce. So silver has been out of favor for a long, long time, but it's recently pushed up to about $25, $30 an ounce. So it is more affordable, and people like the idea. I think what has changed is that it sounds rather sort of silly, but the mints have put together a box, if you will, of 500 silver coins.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just easy, and it's a very heavy metal. And so the specific gravity is very high. So this is something for you, Gareth.
Yeah.
The specific gravity is very high. And so it's easy to buy a 500 coin box of coins. So you're finding a lot of sort of investors, if you will, coming into the market.
And just buying
a
whole bunch.
It's easy to buy this and put it in your safe or in your...
Well, I'll show you. I'll show you what I bought from you guys not so long ago. Here's a silver Krugerrand, which I got from your Squint shop. Yeah, this is magnificent.
Was that from which year is that?
2017.
Yeah, so in 2017, the South African Mint brought out the 50th anniversary of the first Krugerrand.
Right.
And the coins all have got mint marks on it. So if you see on the back, there's like a little hologram.
There's the front and there's the back. And I put it back in the plastic now, but there's Paul Kruger. And it says South Africa, and it's got the date here, and it says 2017.
Right. So,
And don't take it out of the plastic again.
I know. I just took it out to show you.
Keep it careful.
Yeah. Because silver, of course, tarnishes. It's not as resilient as gold is, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But sometimes when it tarnishes, it creates a huge, like, rainbow feel, and it gives a lot of eye appeal. But that takes. That takes about 100 years. So the South African Mint brought out the 50th anniversary of the Krugerrand, the most popular and best-selling coin in the world. Hmm. And those coins had those holograms on them. They were minted in uncirculated, you know, that you could put in your pocket, but also as proof collectibles, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium from 1 ounce right down to 1/50th ounce.
Mm-hmm.
So it created new collectors. So when we spoke about what mints do, mints generally are making new product in, for instance, like 3D coins, coins with musical notes in them.
Amazing.
Hologram color coins.
That's phenomenal.
Strange coins, Batman coins. But what we do is we creating new distribution channels and new ways to open up the way you can buy.
Guys, I could talk to you about this all day, but we're already out of time, and I'm excited that we've started this, but this is by no means the end. So Alan and Rael, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there for this morning, but this is a great place to start, and we will be collectomaniaing for the next couple of weeks, and you can find out more about any of the stuff we discussed this morning by going to the page on cliffcentral.com, and we want to hear about your collections. It might be stuff, like Sia says, that's juvenile, might be stuff that's really valuable. I love that we're starting with coins because it's something I care about, and we will check in with Alan and Rael every now and then, but we mostly want to hear from you about what you're doing, and thank you both for being on the show this morning.
Thank you so
much. Thanks, guys.
Great to see you guys. Thank you. Yeah, well, let's find out what everyone's collecting. Thank you, Rael and Alan. And they are the South African Gold Coin Exchange. And we'll tell you more about that in the forthcoming weeks. How cool is that, huh? Cliffcentral.com